The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the herb.
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator. Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Friday, October 1st, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also time for Billy Joe Armstrong to wake up. Welcome to the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community that we call Normal Show Live. Our first hour is podcast on iTunes as the Normal Daily Audio Stash, and then the second hour, Toker Talk Radio, is special just for you, those of you who are joining us live on Stickam. Also joining us here in the studio, taking care of the buttons, Ganja John.
You know, much like you, Russ, I didn't have my applause ready. Much like you before the show, I wasn't ready for that.
Didn't like my joke. Well, I went over to the convenience store
right.
to get my drink, and as I walk in the convenience store, I hear a woman has coming on, wake me up when September ends. I shouted out in the store, wake up, Billy Joe! So I thought I'd bring it to the show.
It's actually pretty funny that that happened because while you were gone, I made that joke in the chat. I said that exact joke. I said, somebody needs to wake up that asshole from Green Day.
We are having a good time. Can you tell?
Part of
the reason why is because California decriminalized. We'll talk about that and more of the news with Cannabis Carrie, who joins us in our virtual studio in Astoria. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, guys.
No, you're Carrie.
I was just laughing at that because I actually played a bluegrass version of that song on my show on Wednesday.
Well, there we go. It's October 1st. Here we are. What's coming up in the news, Carrie?
Well, today we're going to go to the big three. You know, we report on these states a lot. We're going to go to Colorado, look at some things that are going on there. We're going to go to Montana. And, of course, we've got that big news coming out of California. So, good news today on our Friday Hemp Headlines.
Oh, yeah, we're having a good time here at Rolla J Studios and really enjoying that news. Also on today's show, we get your Rockin' Friday Daily Toker tune. We've got a great song from Reverend Horton Heat. Reverend Horton Heat. Eric's going out and getting some rights for these songs. This is really good stuff. So Reverend Horton Heat's song Marijuana is coming up. It's semi-casual Friday. As you can tell, the Boise State Broncos will be playing New Mexico State. If we don't win by three or four touchdowns, I'll be surprised.
I'm thinking six touchdowns. Yeah. I'm going to be at the Stanford game in Eugene tomorrow. Oh. So ESPN Game Day, watch. If you're watching ESPN Game Day tomorrow, look for a fat bearded dude holding the normal sign because I'm going to be there.
Yeah, he's going to bring the big normal. Here, we'll show the
normal plastics. We'll show the normal plastics that I'm going to bring.
He's going to bring a couple of these here. Yep. He'll be standing up there in Austin holding this.
Yep.
So look for that, guys.
I'll be out there with
ESPN's it. ESPN's Game Day. That should be a lot of fun. Yeah. Also on today's show, it's Friday, first Friday of the month, so normally we'd be visiting with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. We are going to do the Celeb Stoner segment, but Steve is in L.A. He was just at the Stony Awards yesterday, and he's going to be there today for a book signing for his new book, Reefer Movie Madness.
His new awesome book.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool book. Check that one out. And at the end of the show, we'll do a little bit of radical ranting. We're going to talk about the decriminalization measure passed by Arnold Schwarzenegger today, but why that means Prop 19 will be even better. So stick around. It's Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly if I said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Without a moment to spare, the governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, signed into law Senate Bill 1449 late yesterday, literally moments before the deadline to do so would pass. The governor's action now makes it only an infraction punishable by a $100 fine for the crime of less than an ounce of marijuana. Jail time cannot be imposed, probation cannot be ordered, nor can the base fine ever exceed $100 for someone convicted of the crime of possessing less than an ounce of marijuana. Now, in his signing of the bill, the governor also included with his signature the statement that he is opposed to decriminalizing the possession and recreational use of marijuana, and that he opposes Prop 19 on the November ballot. Just like in his op-ed piece for the LA Times last week, the governor called Proposition 19 a deeply flawed measure that, if passed, will adversely affect California's businesses without bringing in the tax revenue to the states promised by proponents. He also added his reasons for signing Senate Bill 1449 into law, that possession of less than an ounce of marijuana has been an infraction in everything but name. And by signing the measure, a criminal defendant is no longer entitled to a jury trial and a defense attorney. The courts can no longer afford to expend their limited resources prosecuting a crime that carries the same punishment as a traffic ticket. Schwarzenegger says that the appointment of counsel and the availability of a jury trial should be reserved for defendants who are facing loss of life, liberty, or property greater than $100. It is a victory for cannabis consumers of California, and hopefully it will begin a trend in California that bodes well for Prop 19 and not a reason for those on the fence to ignore or, worse yet, vote no on Prop 19 this November.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that in the Radical Rant at the end of the show, because there was some talk, even folks in the chat room right now chatting it up about that the anti-19 opponents will say, see, you don't need 19 now because you can have an ounce. But we'll get into why that's not the case, and in fact, why passing this SB 1449 actually makes Prop 19 even better, and you'll be really surprised at the ways that it does. But before we get to that, I just want to address the decriminalization itself and Arnie's reaction to it, because first of all, you know, we saw Massachusetts decriminalize marijuana in 2008 and made it a $100 fine. But then a lot of the localities started passing these measures to increase the fines for things like public consumption, right? So if you had the weed in your pocket, it's only $100. But if you were smoking a joint on the steps, oh, that's public. We can see it. Now it's like $400, $500 fine in some places in Massachusetts. The other thing with the Massachusetts thing was that the people being ticketed didn't necessarily have to show ID or prove who they were. So, you know, you could say you're Mickey Mouse and they give you the ticket and it doesn't really mean anything. I wonder if that's different in the California situation, whether or not California already has laws on the books requiring identification or something like that. I'll bring that to our normal legal committee people out in California to find out. But the way Arnie reacts to this, first of all, he says, you know, it's been an infraction in all but name anyway. No, not really. It's been a misdemeanor. It's been a misdemeanor in name, exactly. People had been getting criminal records for this that impact their life and their ability to get employment and all sorts of areas of their life. So it was important that we got this changed. But him coming up with this notion that, you know, it was good to sign this because we can't waste precious law enforcement resources going after people that have less than an ounce of weed. Okay, so what's the reasoning why we need to waste precious law enforcement resources for people with 2 ounces of weed or an ounce and a half of weed, or someone growing a plant in their house, right? If that's your logic, that we need to be judicious about our use of scarce law enforcement resources, then you need to be supporting Prop 19 and end the illegality of cannabis in the first place.
The medical marijuana debate in Montana is still ongoing in a state that has had medical marijuana since 2004. On Wednesday, three Great Falls men testified before a district judge that the city's ban on medical marijuana businesses were preventing them from obtaining their legal medication. They are hoping Judge Thomas McKittrick will grant them a court order to prevent the city from enforcing the ban that took effect on July 1st. Great Falls passed a ban on land use that conflicts with federal, state, or local laws. Now, that in effect banned all medical marijuana cultivation and any medical marijuana related businesses. The attorney for the city argued that it is not that far for any city resident to reach the city county line where they could obtain medical marijuana. An attorney representing the three medical marijuana patients said he is not aware of any licensed medical marijuana caregivers in neighboring Cascade County. Now, meanwhile, in Helena, the city commission met on Wednesday night, and for the first time at a commission meeting there, they discussed medical marijuana laws as they stand in the capital city. A recent burglary of thousands of dollars worth of medical marijuana from Perfect Cure, a dispensary, is just one way that the medical marijuana industry feels unprotected with the way the current law stands. The owner, Josh Saska, testified at the meeting and said that perpetrators kicked down his door, used a taser gun on his watchdog, then made off with 2.5 pounds of marijuana and several plants. And he said that the police almost made a joke out of it, like they were an illegal business. The current law does not put a dollar value on medical marijuana plants or dried medical marijuana. So according to Lewiston County Clerk Sheriff Lee Dutton, the law is a gray area and Mr. Saska is on the hook for any monetary losses. Now, the Helena City Commission tried to take on that ambiguity at the meeting on Wednesday night by suggesting business licenses for the safety of the patients and zoning. But Mayor Jim Smith voiced his concern on not making an official decision within the city before new medical marijuana laws are decided upon on the upcoming legislative session. Mayor Smith said he wants the city to wait for more input from the state legislatures because they have so many questions they just don't know how to answer yet. Now, a Montana state legislative panel drafted a bill tightening Montana's medical marijuana program, and that will be introduced into the 2011 session. So no progress was made at the meeting on Wednesday, and a decision on Helena City ordinances is still up in the air. Now, commissioners did make it clear, though, they are not concerned about the use of cannabis, but rather the sale of it.
Right. It's okay if you use cannabis to take care of your cancer, AIDS, you know, anything that might qualify in the state of Montana. We just don't want you to have the ability to get any of it. Because really, how are these people, these patients, especially the most sick and frail of them, supposed to be able to get their medicine? It's not like they can be on their hands and knees in the garden, you know, tilling the soil, right? People need retail access to cannabis, especially if this is a medical marijuana right that's written into your constitution. This is ridiculous that Great Falls would want to ban all of these medical marijuana outlets in the city or the county. Do you realize how big and sparse Montana is? I do. I've driven through it. Okay? If you ban someone out of a county in Montana, counties in Montana aren't like counties. My listeners back east or in the Midwest where they're like a typical 6x6 mile thing, you know, and they used to be townships or whatever they were called. It ain't like that out here west, out here in the west. These are huge counties we're talking about. So you're talking about forcing someone who might be a patient to have to go, you know, miles and miles and miles out of their way just to get out of the county. And then once they're in the next county, who's to say there's going to be a dispensary right there on the county line in the middle of nowhere? Probably not. They're going to have to go farther into the next county to get their medicine. And what if the next county decides they also will have a ban on this? This is far too much, too many hoops to make people jump through to try to get a safe, legal, therapeutically safe and effective drug in their systems, and to cause them to have to suffer and to spend all this money. And then with regard to the Montana dispensaries and the attacks and the people bursting in and trying to steal their medicine and so on, well, again, the reasoning behind that is prohibition. Prohibition causes people causes marijuana to be much more expensive than it normally should be, and it causes this huge profit margin for people who can steal it from these medical marijuana dispensaries. Also, because the people who want to use it non-medically also don't have a place to get it. It's time to end marijuana prohibition so that patients can truly be protected.
A memo released by the head of the Colorado Department of Revenue's new medical marijuana enforcement division this week warned medical marijuana retailers they better not sell cannabis to anyone whose doctor's recommendation is less than 35 days old. Matt Cook, the new head of the new department, is ending the practice of patients getting their medical marijuana as soon as they receive a doctor's recommendation to do so. Any Coloradan that has been through the process of getting a Colorado card that makes it legal for them to possess and use cannabis for medical reasons knows that it often takes months and months to receive their license in the mail. Now, up until now, patients could take their doctor's recommendation along with proof that they had submitted an application to the state and purchased medical marijuana from one of the state's dispensaries. Amendment 20 grants 35 days for the Colorado Department of Health and Environment to reject or approve a patient's application. So, according to Matt Cook, that is also the minimum amount of time that a dispensary should wait to sell medical marijuana to an applicant who has yet to receive their official paperwork in the mail. In his official memo, Cook wrote that applicants could still be denied within the 35-day window, exposing any medical marijuana center, or MMC, to criminal sanctions for selling to them. A patient whose application's paperwork is less than 35 days old may be denied a card in those 35 days, as stated in the memo, if a dispensary, quote, sells medical marijuana to persons having evidence of the proper filing of applications with the patient registry, which are not dated at least 35 days prior to the sale, that MMC is doing so at its peril. He warns that if a medical marijuana center sells marijuana within that 35-day time frame, and it later turns out that the patient was denied or the patient had presented fraudulent documents, those centers may face administrative and criminal sanctions as provided in the law. Now, it is still allowed and common practice in Colorado and the rest of the nation for that matter to go directly from your doctor's office to a nearby pharmacy and pick up any other pharmaceutical pill, cream, liquid, or vaporized medicine on your way home so you don't have to make two trips.
Wow, this is reprehensible. The notion that someone, let's say a cancer patient, might go to their doctor and their doctor might recommend them the medical use of marijuana, but then this bureaucrat would say, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Cancer patient, you're going to have to puke through chemo for another 35 days because they might reject your application in this 35 days. Hey, you want some statistics? Because, you know, I'm all about the numbers. So while you were talking, Carrie, I went out to the Colorado Department of Public Health and checked Public Health and Environment. And took a look at the medical marijuana registry program statistics as of December 31st, 2009. Statistics of the registry include 43,769 new patient applications have been received to date since the registry program began operating in June of 2001. 39 applications have been denied. 28 cards have been revoked. So, if we do the math on that, like I'm doing right now, they are talking about a 0.008, let's see, that would be 0.008% of the applications in that 35-day window have been denied over, since 2001, let's see, over a 9-year span. So, on the 0.08% chance that a application may be denied, all the other people, the 99.92% who apply for the program and are legal and turn out to get their card and can get their medicine to take care of their condition, we're going to let them all suffer. You all have to wait for 35 days so that we can catch the 0.08% whose applications could be denied in 35 days. This shows you how these people that are in charge of these medical marijuana programs do not have the best interests of the patients in mind. They are like the insurance companies in the healthcare debate here. Their job here is to find every little loophole they can, every little bit of fine print they can to try to deny you your medicine, to try to keep marijuana as restricted as possible, to try to make sure that they can keep the registries and the dispensaries and all of this stuff as limited as possible, because as I keep telling you, so long as marijuana is illegal and bad, they have to continue to separate us and they have to try to push that line as far away from more people getting marijuana as they can. Just legalize it already.
I think they should legalize it so we can just stop talking about it.
I know.
That's a Daniel Tosh joke, actually.
We got to take a break. Have some fun. We're back with Toker Tunes in a second.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
All my friends know the lowrider.
This is Normal Show Live.
The lowrider is a little higher.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. Brought to you by Eric Smokes Bud in Madison, Wisconsin. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
The Reverend Horton Heat is the stage name of Jim Heath, the band leader of the Psychobilly Trio from Dallas, Texas. The group originally formed in 1985, playing its first gigs in Dallas' Deep Ellum neighborhood. Its current members are Jim Reverend Horton Heath on guitar and lead vocals, Jimbo Wallace on the upright bass, and Paul Simmons on drums. Through relentless touring and a manic stage show, they have established themselves as one of the most popular underground acts in America. Their sound is self-described as country-fed punkabilly. Some of their songs could also be described as psychobilly. Their music is a mixture of country, punk, big band, swing, and rockabilly, all played loud and energetically with lyrics that are very often humorous. They have achieved success within the genre and even in mainstream America, many of their songs being featured in video games and commercials. Today's song is from the 1990 release, Smoke 'Em If You Got 'Em, and is available on iTunes or at Think Indie. Here is Marijuana.
We'll be right back.
Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
Hi, everybody. It's time for Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Important news for this weekend. If you're in the upper Midwest, the Great Midwest Harvest Festival is taking place this weekend, Madison, Wisconsin, near the state capitol, near the campus of the University of Wisconsin at Madison. I got to go there last year, meet up with folks from Wisconsin Normal, and Ben Mazel and Gary Stork from Is My Medicine Legal Yet? They're great folks. Check that out, the Great Midwest Harvest Festival. It's the 40th year that they're doing this festival. It's the longest ongoing hemp festival ever. It started, if you guys remember the story of John Sinclair, the old 10 for 2. Back in the day, he was given 10 years for 2 marijuana joints, and he will be... And he was, John Lennon did a song about it and everything. So, yeah, since that time, since 1970, they've been doing it. So here they are, their 40th year, Great Midwest Harvest Fest, this, first through the third. So today through Sunday in Madison, Wisconsin. Also in Ohio, there's a Harvest Fest and fundraiser going on at the Wisteria Campground in Pomeroy, Ohio. You can check out information from Ohio Normal. Go to our website, normal.org/chapters to get the websites for any of our Normal chapters. normal.org/chapters. There is a reggae run and Cleveland Normal October meeting taking place in Cleveland, Ohio. See clevelandnormal.org for more details. On Sunday, October 3rd, Mile High Normal is having their public meeting at the Colorado Progressive Coalition Boardroom at 1075 Santa Fe in Denver, Colorado. It's open to the public. They'll have munchies, and you can have conversation with like-minded cannabis lovers in the Denver community. Check out milehighnormal.org for more details. Also, this weekend, our good friend Steve Bloom will be signing books. His new book, Reefer Movie Madness, The Ultimate Stoner Film Guide, and here's a copy of the book right here. John and I have been reading it here during the breaks. It's an awesome book. It's got a guide to more than 420 movies, like 600 movies in here.
It's got a ton of movies.
All sorts of sidebars from various celebrities and folks talking about their roles in these movies. And each one of the movies that they list here has a little series of icons, so you know whether it has bongs
or joints or boobies.
Or boobies even. So they're doing a book signing today, Friday, at the L.A. book release party at Space 1520 at 1520 North Cahuenga Boulevard. I probably mispronounced that.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, well. Tonight at 7 o'clock. Also, on the 3rd, this will be Sunday, a reading and signing at Skylight Books at 1818 North Vermont Avenue in Los Angeles, 5 to 7 p.m. So check that out. Reefer Movie Madness, The Ultimate Stoner Film Guide from Shirley Halperin and our good friend Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. If you'd like to pick up your copy of the book Reefer Movie Madness, just check out CelebStoner.com. They've got the links to Amazon for you to get the movie. And for more information on all of these events, including the websites, the contacts, email addresses, phone numbers, maps, and more, check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar at norml.org/calendar.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch-long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORMAL, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, N-O-R-M-L.org.
Yeah. Marijuana
culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
Welcome back, everyone. 33 after the hour, and normally we'd go out by telephone to Brooklyn, New York, and speak with Steve Bloom at CelebStoner.com. But, of course, Steve's in L.A. right now, and he's really busy because he's got these book signings we just told you about in the calendar today and Sunday in Los Angeles. Make sure you visit CelebStoner.com to get the information and to get your copy of the book.
And last night he was at the Stony Awards, so hopefully we'll get a makeup session to talk about that a little
bit. Absolutely. So we are going to just go to Steve's website right now, CelebStoner.com, and give you some of the latest news headlines here in the worlds of entertainment, music, sports, and comedy, and more. And Cannabis Carry will join us as well, and we'll just have a good discussion over some of these stories. So let's start with the one that you just mentioned. The 10th Annual Stony Awards, produced by High Times, took place in Hollywood last night. Awards were given in 8 categories, including Stoner and Stonette of the Year. Cheech and Chong opened the show. The 2010 Stony Award winners include Best Comedy, Hot Tub Time Machine. You guys seen Hot Tub Time Machine?
I did see Hot Tub Time
Machine. It was all right.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I don't remember 1986 being so much like that, but...
I don't remember 1986.
Well, that's right. You weren't around. Carrie, did you have any of the neon clothes in 86?
Oh, yeah, I did. I love 80s fashion. I mean, I don't wear any of it anymore, but back then I really did love it. I had the colored streaks in my hair and the whole thing. I'm really glad they didn't have that goth thing going on when I was in high school, because I totally would have been one of those obnoxious goth kids.
Maybe so. The best drama for the Stony Awards in LA last night was Holy Rollers, and I'm afraid this is a stoner movie that I hadn't heard of. So
yeah, me either.
You guys haven't heard of? I'm pulling it up here to see what we can find on it.
I would have voted Leaves of Grass.
What do you know? It's a Jesse Eisenberg film.
There you go.
Jesse Eisenberg, the guy who's in the Facebook movie now, yeah, right? The Social Network movie, apparently was in this movie. We'll have to pick that one up, Holy Rollers, and check it out. Also, winners in the Stony Awards were Best Documentary, Cheech and Chong's Hey, Watch This. Well, that's kind of cool.
Did you watch it?
I haven't.
I have a copy of it if you want to check it out.
Well, we'll have to check
that
out.
Yeah, it's really great.
It's
basically their concert film.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, we'll check that out. Yeah. Best TV show for the Stony Awards this year was Breaking Bad, and I don't know much about that show.
Breaking Bad is about a high school teacher who gets cancer and starts cooking meth to support his family after he dies.
I see. So, according to Steve's report on it, it's called essentially Weeds on Speed.
Yes.
And it's on the American Movie Channel,
yeah.
AMC?
AMC, yeah.
Okay, Breaking Bad. The best animated TV show, according to the Stony Awards, is The Boondocks, based off of the popular comic strip.
Yeah,
I love The Boondocks. Yeah. That's a good one. Best internet video, Jamie's World. And here, Jamie's World, nothing. but here are the two big awards, Stoner and Stonette of the Year. Winner of Stoner of the Year for the 10th Annual High Times Stony Awards, John Cusack.
Really?
Yeah, John Cusack is Stoner of the Year. And I don't know him. I suppose he probably has and probably does. But
he looks like the type.
Well, if you watched him in Hot Tub Time Machine, he's either a great actor or he knows what he's doing.
And I heard actually last night, by the way, Craig Robinson from Hot Tub Time Machine was one of the MCs.
Yeah.
And he sang Mary Jane on stage for everybody.
So. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Now we have Stonette of the Year. Yes. Stonette of the Year is actress Drew Barrymore.
Obvious.
Okay, yeah, there we go. That's an easy pick. Let's see. Special Achievement Awards were also given out to Jack Herer, the late Jack Herer, the Emperor of Hemp, which is, needs no explanation, course. Another Special Achievement Award to former professional wrestler Arnold Schwarzenegger co-star and governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura.
Excellent man.
A fantastic man who always is telling
very
the truth.
Very pro-pot.
Yeah, very pro-pot, always bringing truth to power. He's, was a maverick sort of legislator or maverick governor. Nobody expected him to win. So
yeah.
That's cool. Jesse Ventura gets an award.
He was awesome in Predator.
He was. I know. When you were watching Predator, did you really ever stop to think you'd be watching two governors
in an
action movie?
Never.
That's amazing. and another Special Achievement Award to filmmaker Len Richmond for his fantastic documentary country, What If Cannabis Cured Cancer.
Yeah.
We showed this at the Normal Conference, and it went
we
over.
We talked to Lynn here on the show, actually.
Yeah.
It was an excellent movie.
Yeah.
Excellent movie. I urge everyone to go buy it.
Yeah, buy the movie. Just so – that's important, too, because we talk about a lot about these movies and, you know, you should see this movie, you should see this movie. And I know these days, like, you can get on any sort of bit pirate place, torrent stream place, and get your
Guilty
stuff for
that.
Free and you can steal it for free. And I'm not making a moral judgment on that at all. What I'm saying here is if you want to see more of these movies get made, buy them.
Yeah.
Right?
Because this guy's putting it out himself.
You know, if it's like, you know, the latest George Lucas thing,
yeah, you know, whatever you want.
Do what you want, man. They're going to make enough money. Those movies are going to keep getting made. But these little tiny independent documentaries, especially on a niche subject like marijuana, you got to buy those movies.
Yeah.
And that movie's going to go to those filmmakers, and it's going to lead to more of those movies being made.
Yeah.
Now, according to the Celeb Stoner Report, celeb presenters included Doug Benson, Pauly Shore, big friend of our show, Doug Benson. We love him. Pauly Shore, Donald Faison, Dan Fogler, Alexis Arquette, Ken Divisian, Kelsey Ford, and Michael Francesi.
Ken Divisian is the guy from Borat, the other guy, the big fat dude. Yeah,
gotcha. Okay. Craig Robinson, Rob Corddry, and director Steve Pink accepted for Hot Tub Time Machine. Director Kevin Ash not only accepted for Holy Rollers, he lit up a joint and the glass Stony Bong on stage. Yay! Betsy Bandit and Dean Norris accepted for Breaking Bad. Also on the bill were musical performances by Craig Robinson and the Nasty Delicious, a rousing version of Mary Jane, apparently what you were speaking of, Dan Finnerty of the Dan Band, and Leon and the Peoples with their song Weed's Gonna Come Around. Also reported from celebstoner.com, best one-liners from the stage, Tommy Chong, quote, "We have a chance to make marijuana legal. It's very important that you support Prop 19.
That explains, you know, someone was saying the other day, it might have been you actually, Russ, was saying he said on his Facebook page he had some reservations, so blows that out of the water.
Yeah, it looks like he's come back around. And then, let's see, Pauly Shore admitting that the first joint he stole was from his mother's underwear drawer. Now, a lot of people don't know Pauly Shore's mom, Mitzi Shore, runs Comedy Store, you know,
is
well-known in the L.A. circuit, knows a billion celebrities, so that's cool. And an interesting quote from Alexis Arquette, quote, "Drew Barrymore has the fattest vagina," end quote. I don't know how you find that out. How do you know that, Alexis? That's interesting. Anyway, 10th Annual Stony Awards, and of course, Steve Bloom was there when we talked to him. Actually, the next time...
Next time they do the Stonies, we're going is what's happening.
We're going, that's for sure. But the next time we would talk to Steve would be October 15th, and that's when we'll be down in San Bernardino for the Cypress Hill Smokeout.
Yep.
So I will actually talk to Steve in person. We'll just get him live on the show. For those of you that don't know, I'm headed down there October 16th to the Cypress Hill Smokeout, big concert and activism and expo kind of thing, and I'm going to be on a panel, so I'm hoping I can get someone to boo me.
Maybe.
One of those Noah 19 Dragonfly. People to come boo me.
Dragonfly will come yell at you.
Because what they don't understand is I'm not Richard Lee, and I'm not anybody with the campaign. I'm just a guy who used to play in bar bands behind chicken wire for about 15 years. Yeah. So you want to come heckle? Let's have some fun. Bring it. Let's rock and roll. All right, let's go on to some other news and terribly sad news that we reported on, and it's not marijuana related, of course, because death is involved, and that is beloved comedian Greg Giraldo overdosed on pills.
Accidental overdose.
Accidental overdose, it's said. Known for his stand-up act, Judging Last Comic Standing, and roasting celebrities, Greg Giraldo died of a suspected drug overdose on Tuesday. The 44-year-old comedian had been hospitalized since Saturday night when he was found unconscious in the Hilton East Brunswick in New Jersey. Prescription drugs were found in his room. He was in the middle of a four-night gig at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. Ironically, Giraldo, who has been in alcohol recovery since 2005, was scheduled to perform on Saturday afternoon at the New York Recovery Rally on Randall's Island. He never showed up and also didn't perform Saturday night at the Stress Factory. Greg Giraldo's been always one of my favorite comedians. He's one of those guys that, like, all comedians and fans of comedy know, but he's not really a celebrity.
Right.
Like,
right.
People, you might see him and go, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You mention his name and people don't know him, but a brilliant comedy writer.
Yeah.
Just an amazing comedy writer. And you told me the story yesterday of...
Yeah, I'll tell it. I was going to ask you if I could tell the joke.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried wrote on his Twitter...
Now, yeah, everybody knows Gilbert Gottfried is
everybody
the...
Everybody knows.
Gilbert Gottfried! You know that guy.
For our younger fans, Iago from Aladdin.
there you go.
But, yeah, he wrote on his Twitter... So if Greg Giraldo's cremated, is that the Greg Giraldo roast? Of course, Greg Giraldo's famous for roasting people. I thought it was funny. Greg Giraldo would have thought it was funny.
I agree.
And a lot of people were pretty upset about it. And Gilbert said, I got into comedy because I don't know how to express my feelings. You know, and, seriously.
Laughing on the outside, crying on the inside thing. It's
terribly sad, but, you know, sometimes some people got to laugh.
No, I think that's the kind of joke Giraldo would have written.
Oh, yeah, he would have written it about himself.
I encourage anyone, go to the Comedy Central or go to YouTube and pull up the clips from all these different roasts that Greg Giraldo was a part of. I'm a huge fan of celebrity roasts. In fact, last night I was up pretty late last night to the point where, you know, you're past, like, last call with Carson Daly and ABC World News Now, you're past that.
Yeah.
So I was into that land where it's all the infomercials that are like an hour long. Mm-hmm. And it was the infomercial for the Dean Martin Celebrity Roasts, right? The old from like the late 60s to the 1980, I think, is when they last ran. Mm-hmm. And I love that kind of comedy. Yeah. I love that tear 'em down, you know. Yeah. That's great stuff. And Giraldo...
King of that.
Yeah, of all the comedians. Greg Giraldo and Jeffrey Ross. Those two guys. Because all the rest of the comedians that come up and roast, they don't quite have... Some of them, I don't think they have the idea of what the flavor is of roasting. But Giraldo always nailed it. So we'll miss Greg Giraldo. He's up there doing the greatest comedy set ever. Mitch Hedberg, George Carlin, Richard Pryor. We'll miss
Chris
you.
Chris Farley.
Yeah, Chris Farley. Why'd you have to mention George Carlin?
I know. All right, going off to more news here in Celeb Stoner. One last one that we'll get to, and this is from the world of sports. We did stories last year about New York Giants' Tim Lincecum. He's the two-time National League Cy Young Award winner. And back when he had a five-game losing streak, Giant fans had been reaching for their bongs and wishing he could do the same. But then Lincecum, who was arrested for marijuana possession last October, went out and beat the Rockies 2-1 on Wednesday night. So fans have created T-shirts for Lincecum that urge the Giants to let Timmy smoke. They're saying when he was smoking pot, he was winning all the games, and now that he's back and they're watching him, he's not winning. Of course, the Giants are bound by league rules that punish players for using marijuana and other legal drugs. Still, Sarah may have a point. The person who's making these T-shirts, this is San Francisco attorney Tony Sarah, who's been contending that Lincecum has been suffering from cannabis deprivation, that's why he's not pitching well. So Sarah may have a point when he says about Lincecum, quote, his decline occurred after his marijuana conviction. He obviously has not medicated since then. Baseball pitchers, like trial lawyers, have a high-stress vocation. Marijuana ably moderates stress. Really? End quote. Well, you know, Doc Ellis pitched a no-hitter on acid. So.
I was going to say, who was that who pitched on acid? So
So if it's working for you, work it, my man. Timmy smoke.
Let Timmy smoke. And I encourage all fans at the next game to throw joints onto the field.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, that's our Celeb Stoner Entertainment Report from CelebStoner.com. And we'll be back in touch with Steve Bloom in 2 weeks when we meet him up at the Cypress Hill Smokeout. And don't forget, this Friday, L.A. book release party at Space 1520. From 7 to 10, and on Sunday, reading and signing at Skylight Books, 1818 North Vermont in L.A., 5 to 7.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Geek? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 47 after the hour. Time for a little bit of radical ranting. And this is actually ranting from the side of good news. And for those of you who joined us a little bit late, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed at the last minute last night Senate Bill 1449, which officially decriminalizes marijuana up to an ounce in the state of California. Now, a lot of people had thought that marijuana was already decriminalized. That's a word that's been bandied about. But actually, what marijuana had been was an unarrestable misdemeanor. So you still got a misdemeanor conviction. You still had to pay court costs, all that kind of stuff. But you couldn't be arrested for it. Well, now, no longer can you be arrested for marijuana. You also do not get a criminal conviction for marijuana. It is truly decriminalized. It's just a $100 ticket. No jail, no probation, and the fine can never be more than $100. This is great news. Of course this is great news. However, there are some people out there who may be trying to twist this and use this to their own ends to help convince you to not vote for Proposition 19 this November. Let me help you follow the logic. Those of you who've been following me for a while know that I've been covering the Toss Salad people, the Stoners Against Legalization article of the day. And the Stoners Against Legalization, in one of their points, always brought up the fact that there was two main things about Prop 19. Number one, it would allow you to have up to an ounce. And number two, that you could grow marijuana. So the Stoners Against Legalization, in their rhetoric, they've kept this point that we don't really need Prop 19 because, you know, Prop 19 only allows you to have up to an ounce. And since California is going to pass this decrim bill that only gives you a ticket for up to an ounce, then what's the point of passing Prop 19? Yeah, the illogic here is the idea that you should prefer a $100 ticket rather than no harassment at all. You should prefer a $100 ticket rather than not having probable cause or anything, right? Look, even when decrim goes into effect, and it goes into effect January 1st, marijuana is only an infraction, a ticket, but it's still against the law, right? This means cops still have probable cause to go after that less than an ounce in your pocket so they can write you the ticket. This still means cops have an incentive to harass citizens who use marijuana because they can make $100 on the deal. And when they have that probable cause to go after the weed that's in your pocket and they find more than an ounce, it's still a misdemeanor with a $500 fine and 6 months in jail. After Prop 19 passes, possession of up to an ounce outside the home is lawful, as in not even an infraction. That means there's no probable cause to search you and harass you based on the sight or smell of marijuana. No more using the sight of your joint or a canine unit sniffing your weed as the pretext to start harassing you and fishing for another reason to bust you, right? Even if you were caught outside your home and you had more than an ounce, Prop 19 still helps you because where decriminalization won't help you because you get, quote, and this is the words from Prop 19, an affirmative defense that the cannabis was reasonably related to his or her personal consumption, end quote. So under decrim, under what we just got signed last night, you don't have an affirmative defense if it's over an ounce. If it's over an ounce, boom, misdemeanor, $500 fine, 6 months in jail. But after Prop 19, if you're caught with, say, I don't know, 29 grams, 30 grams, 35 grams, and they say, oh, that's more than an ounce, obviously a criminal, you can say, Your Honor, this is my affirmative defense, that I am saying that this was my personal weed, and here's how I can prove it. You can actually take it to court and fight for the fact that something over an ounce was truly your personal right. That right doesn't exist with decrim, so we still need Prop 19. Also, this decriminalization means that an ounce anywhere in this decriminalization ounce anywhere, including your home, right? So, like, if the cops came to your home and were interviewing for whatever, and they found an ounce on you, or less, you'd still get a $100 ticket. When Prop 19 passes, not only are you allowed to lawfully have that ounce outside of the home, but inside your home, you are lawfully allowed to possess, at the side of your garden, quote, this is Prop 19, quote, results of any harvest, end quote. Any harvest, end quote, which is all the weed you ever grew in 25 square feet of space ever. Dennis Perone's own attorney, J. David Nick, speculates he could easily defend even 200 pounds in your home under Prop 19. Right? So what Arnie just signed, decrim, 1 ounce, $100 ticket if you got an ounce in your home. More than that, if you got more than an ounce in your home, you go back to the misdemeanor, $500 fine, 6 months in jail. Under Prop 19, any amount of weed found in your home could be defended. Now, let's not forget also that signing the decriminalization bill that Schwarzenegger just did does nothing for you with regard to growing a plant, right? If you're growing even one marijuana plant in the state of California, that's still a felony. The sight of a leaf through your window, seeds and stems in your trash, purchases from indoor gardening stores that the cops figure out by putting a GPS on your car without your knowledge, that's legal, by the way, are still probable causes to bust you because they can suspect that you're even growing one tiny little seedling, still a felony. After Prop 19, you could have 31 5-gallon buckets worth of marijuana plants in your home, and the fact that you do isn't probable cause to begin harassing you. So this decrim bill that just got signed, I'm sure Stephanie Taylor, a.k.a. Dragonfly De La Luz, is cheering right now because she figures, oh, well, now we got that whole one side, you know, an ounce is decrim now, so we can use that talking point. I'm sure she's thrilled about that. But what she probably doesn't realize is that this decrim just gutted two of her talking points. Oh, yeah, I'm thrilled about this one. Prop 19 still maintains certain criminal penalties. This decrim bill just got rid of those criminal penalties. And Dragonfly, I mean Stephanie Taylor, had been mentioning this in her blog. She put up a post on eight talking points, whatever it was, against Prop 19. Here's two of them. Number two, this is Stephanie Taylor writing. Smoking cannabis in public will be prohibited. Currently, it is perfectly legal under Prop 215 for anyone to freely medicate wherever cigarette smoking is allowed, but Prop 19 would eliminate that hard-won freedom. And number three, she said, smoking cannabis while your own children are in the house could be prohibited. What is meant by space and present? If you smoke in your den while your child sleeps in the bedroom, are you smoking in the same space where minors are present? If you light up on the back patio and the kids happen to be playing soccer next door, are you in the same space where minors are present? What if your high-grade homegrown wafts into the hallway of your apartment building while children are passing by? Are you smoking in the same space where minors are present? Is present the same house, the same room, wafting difference, distance? Yes, no, maybe, depends. Not good enough. Okay, so Stephanie's two points here was that, you know, Prop 19 is going to overturn Prop 215, and if you smoke in public, you'll get busted, and if you smoke with kids around, you'll get busted, right? Okay, well, first of all, let's just go past the fact that Prop 19 doesn't change Prop 215 at all, and patients will still be able to medicate publicly around kids if they have to. Even if you're not a patient, and Stephanie's crazy interpretation of smoking pot in the same space where a minor is present really means, quote, being in the same room as the consumer, the same house, the same apartment building, or even within wafting distance, end quote, you'd now just get a $100 infraction ticket. You know that $100 infraction ticket that she doesn't have any problem with you signing? Not that she's really fond of signing infraction tickets herself, mind you.
Even, what are you talking about, Russ?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. Just something off the top of my head, you know, that Stephanie Taylor of Nashville, Tennessee isn't too fond of signing infraction tickets. That's all.
I got you.
I'm sure someone with Google will figure it out. Even if you're not a patient and you're caught smoking in public, you would now just get a $100 ticket. So even though patients will still have all the rights, and even though space is not going to be called an apartment building, even if that were true, you're going to get a $100 ticket. The $100 ticket that she says you should go ahead and accept and not vote for Prop 19. So don't let this bone that Schwarzenegger's throwing you dissuade you from supporting Prop 19 this November 2nd. Enacting just decriminalization still leaves marijuana illegal. Prop 19 makes marijuana lawful. And that, my friends, is my little rant.
I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. So we have some time here, about 3 minutes before the end of the show. It's been quite a fun week here at Normal Show Live. And Carrie, what are you doing this weekend?
Well, I'm doing that 10K thing, and I have some friends coming over, and I'm cooking for a big group of people, and I'm getting ready for Astoria's first big normal meeting on Monday night, so I got a pretty busy weekend ahead.
So you're not going to be sleeping for the next 4 or 5 days?
I don't know. I'll probably find some time to sleep in there, too, so it's okay. We'll love the weekends.
We'll sleep when it's legal.
Yeah.
So the Astoria Bridge Walk is taking place this weekend.
On Sunday.
Sunday. This is, and mm-hmm. for folks who don't know, it's a 4.2-mile bridge that goes across the Columbia River from Washington to Oregon. It's iconic, right? Like, if you watched, I'm sure they've got scenes of it in all the movies that have been filmed there, right?
Yeah, you can Google Astoria Bridge, probably, and find pictures of it. It's beautiful, and you can see it from my deck, so I really love it a lot.
Yeah, totally. You know, we might just have to come up this weekend.
Yeah, all right. Come on up. I got other people coming up, too. We'll find a space for you.
We'll get out of town this weekend. Throw a ball on the beach with a dog or something. Also, Great Midwest Harvest Fest taking place this weekend up in Madison, Wisconsin. Don't forget about that. And in 2 weekends from now, October 16th on a Saturday, I'll be at the Cypress Hill Smokeout, bringing you exclusive backstage coverage. Well, maybe not exclusive. I bet Bong's there.
Yeah, probably.
He'll probably show up. We'll put the infinite loop of internet streaming on each other.
Yeah.
That's always fun. Hey, for Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John and everyone at the Normal Foundation, thanks for tuning in to Normal Show Live and making us the fastest growing and best loved podcast for news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. Check out our replays coming up at 3, 5, 7, and 9. You can get the podcast anytime you like by going to iTunes and looking for the Normal Daily Audio Stash. Check out the Normal Stash blog at stash.normal.org. Radical Russ on Twitter, Ganja John on Twitter. I don't think Carrie's on the Twitter yet.
No.
Carrie doesn't tweet.
I will not tweet.
We'll see you next time, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Don't forget to watch ESPN Game Day tomorrow morning and look out for Ganja John and Normal. Have a good weekend, folks. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.